You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. So a variety of diseases can be spread by ticks in Wisconsin, and the majority of tick-borne diseases result from the bite of an infected deer tick that can transmit Lyme disease. As we venture out on more walks and hikes and do yard work, so much of that this weekend during the stay-at-home order, it's a good time to be vigilant about checking for ticks. Have you been seeing ticks in your backyard or on you? What are you doing to protect yourself? Have you or a loved one had Lyme disease? Did you recover? We're at 800-642-1234. Lyric Bartholomew is a UW-Madison professor who studies infectious disease agents in mosquitoes, ticks, and other parasites. She is a director of the Midwest Center of Excellence for Vector-Borne Disease. Lyric, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, I was thinking of you this weekend as we went on not one hike in the woods, but three hikes in the woods, and I kept thinking to myself, oh, Lyric, I need to talk to Lyric about this. But so
great.
Many, yeah, so many families are going out in the woods these days or going on hikes. What is the tick population doing in Wisconsin right now?
Yeah, right now we're still seeing some of those sort of tail end adult deer ticks. And I think in the next few weeks, we'll start to see more and more of the nymph stage. And so the adult deer ticks are the ones that are a little easier to find and detect on yourself. And then in the next few weeks, we'll start to see more of those little teeny tiny sesame seed size ticks that are more likely to transmit Lyme and other things. So it's great that you were thinking of me and thinking of your tick vigilance.
So the larger adult size ones, are they less prone to transmit disease?
No, they can still transmit disease. It's just that they're big enough that we often detect them before they have time to do it.
I see. And those little ones, the little ones that are just starting to grow, those are the ones that are harder to detect on ourselves.
They are. They're like the size of a freckle. They're very hard to see. And so, I think it's so important that families get out and enjoy the beautiful outdoors in Wisconsin springtime and, get out of the house a little, if possible, safely with social distancing and have a little bit of knowledge so they're armed to be prepared to prevent tick bites.
Are you still getting out into the field, even in this pandemic?
You know, we are under significant restrictions to what we can do right now, still trying to figure out what we can do safely. So we're hoping that some of our longer-term studies can keep going on, but some things we're just going to have to wait on.
So right now, some of those studies are just basically simmering on the back burner as you wait to figure out what is possible.
That's right. So, we really want to be out and going to the places that we go and doing the research that we do, but we have to figure out ways to do that where a single person can be in a vehicle and then once they're on site, they can be safely distant from one another. So there's a lot of new logistical hurdles, but all of it is so important that we'll figure it out.
You helped develop a tick app that people can download to their smartphones. How is that tick app used?
Oh, we're so excited about the tick app. The tick app is a sort of like a take an expert with you type tool. So we ask people to download the tick app and tell us about their daily activities. And we offer in return tick identification services. So if you find a tick on you, you can take a picture of it and send it to us and we can help identify that. And this year we're adding an additional feature, which is we're sending out prevention messaging. So we're trying to understand how we can best sort of prompt people to make sure they're looking for ticks if they don't all have a Lyric on their mind when they're walking through the woods. The app can remind them, wear your repellent and take a shower when you get home and check for ticks. And so we'll use a variety of different messages to remind people, like, hey, get out in the woods and enjoy yourself. And remember to do this when you get back.
We're talking with Lyric Bartholomew, a UW-Madison professor who studies infectious disease agents in mosquitoes, ticks, and other parasites, taking your questions about the season and what you want to know about ticks at 800-642-1234. Are you growing more concerned about ticks and the diseases they carry? Have you been seeing them in your backyard or neighborhood? How do you protect yourself? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. And Lyric, I should mention that that app is available on WPR's morning show page at WPR.org/mornings. How else can people get information on getting this app and submitting information to the app?
So, you know, we have through our website, we have a tick app website. And through the University of Wisconsin Medical Entomology Lab, which is run by Susan Paskowitz, there are a variety of ways to get into the app. You can find it on the App Store and on the Google Store. So for both platforms of the phone, smartphone types, you can get onto the app.
Let's talk about Lyme disease for a moment. The Department of Health Services here in Wisconsin said there were more than 3,000 cases of Lyme disease reported in 2018. Number of cases has more than doubled in a decade. Do we know why it is on the rise?
You know, I think it's a variety of factors, but probably the most obvious one is that we just see this tick having made its way really all the way across the state. And so some of the work that our teams have done has been to chart and plot where those ticks are in Wisconsin. So the CDC has guidelines for how one sort of calls a county as being infested with those ticks or having a population of those ticks. And so our people have gone out and looked for ticks. To look for ticks, you drag for ticks, actually. That's what we call it. You go out for a drag and one that doesn't involve nicotine, right? And you use this big white cloth and drag it across the grass and shrubbery. And as you do so, the ticks that are out trying to grab onto a person will grab onto this cloth instead. And so we can look at that then and see the ticks and whether or not they're present. And people from our labs have done that all over the state, and we found the tick in all but just two counties. And so I think if you looked back in the 90s, you would only see this tick up in the northwestern part of the state, but it's definitely moved its way all the way down. And that puts people at risk across the state from coming into contact with the tick and therefore with Lyme disease.
Do you see much variance between counties?
You know, it really just depends on habitat availability. Mm. So the ticks are totally dependent on mice and other small mammals when they're small size ticks, and then on deer when they're larger. And so the presence of those animals is really important. And then they also tend to be in places that are forested and where there's, you know, kind of brushy understory. And so you have to have all of those elements for the ticks to really thrive. So in places where perhaps agricultural fields dominate more, you'd find fewer of the ticks.
We're talking about tick season with UW-Madison vector biologist Lyric Bartholomew. She's here. She's a director of the Midwest Center of Excellence for Vector-Borne Disease at UW-Madison. So what do you want to know about preventing tick bites? What questions do you have about repellents containing DEET and how to do tick checks on yourself and your loved ones? Bring on your questions, 800-642-1234. You can send an email to ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute with Lyric Bartholomew right here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're getting a preview of tick and mosquito season in Wisconsin. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The month of May is National Lyme Disease Awareness Month, but it's not too early to be checking for ticks. UW-Madison Professor Lyric Bartholomew, she studies infectious disease agents in mosquitoes, ticks, and other parasites, and she stays with us for the hour. Let's take a call now. Bill is joining us from Superior with a question. Hi, Bill.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Quick question on the Lone Star tick, and how far north is it? Has it been found? Is it making its way further north? And about, and a little bit about the disease that it carries that makes you some sort of allergic to meat, if you could clarify on some of that.
Sure. Thanks for your call, Bill. So the Lone Star tick is moving its way progressively northward in the United States. I used to work in Iowa, and we watched that tick move from sort of the southern third tier of Iowa progressively north. And now it's even a handful of times moved its way into Minnesota. We're starting to see it once in a while in Wisconsin. It's not clear that it's established yet in Wisconsin. But it's a tick that is causing more and more concern because it seems to be associated with something called a red meat allergy. And so when this tick feeds on you in its saliva or its spit, it has sort of protein in it that seems to maybe be associated with that red meat allergy. It's called alpha-gal. And so people who have this allergy within just a few hours of consuming red meat start to get hives all over their body. And so there may be other causes to the red meat allergy as well, but scientists are exploring what looks like a strong correlation between getting bitten by that tick repeatedly and having a red meat allergy.
Is there any idea if this particular tick, the Lone Star tick, will spread further?
Yeah, I mean, I think as temperatures become more permissive, it seems to be moving more and more northward. I would just say it's not established yet in Wisconsin, but we have seen it a few times.
Let's bring in Rob now in Radisson. Hi, Rob.
Good morning. Thanks for the program. I have two questions. First one, is it possible for mosquitoes and ticks to be a vector for the COVID-19 virus? And the second question is it better to wear light clothing or dark clothing? I'm told that if you wear dark, that attracts them. Is that true?
Okay, fun. So first, the first question about COVID-19 is something that's on a lot of people's minds, so I'm glad you raised that, Rob. So there are a few things going on with COVID-19 that make it really, really unlikely that a bloodsucker would be involved in transmitting. First, it's really a virus that infects, you know, the lungs and your nose and not so much your bloodstream. So it's not really a bloodborne virus. You know, it's transmitted by droplets coming out of your nose when you sneeze. And so it's really not probably very accessible to a bloodsucker like a mosquito or tick, as compared to something like Lyme that's in your bloodstream, right? And so that's the first thing that COVID has going against it for being transmitted by these things. And also, it's the kind of virus that we think there's very little likelihood that it could actually get established inside the body of a mosquito or tick. So when we talk about how mosquitoes and ticks transmit these disease agents, we always say they're not just flying syringes because it's not like they take blood and then eject it right away. You know, it's a really long-term relationship between the mosquito or tick and the thing it transmits. And so inside the mosquito or inside the tick, a virus or a bacteria has to interact with its guts and then with the rest of its body and then get into its salivary gland. So it's a really sort of complicated and convoluted set of relationships that have to occur. And the COVID virus, it's really unlikely that it would be able to successfully interact with the mosquito or tick in that way. So if it were in the blood, which is unlikely, it would probably just get digested and passed out of the body.
Rob, great question. And then he had a question about dark clothes versus light clothes.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, too. I myself have noticed that it's possible that different mosquitoes and ticks may respond differently depending on what you're wearing. Of course, light clothing is useful because it makes it easier to detect ticks if they get onto you. And so that's the recommendation for wearing light clothing with ticks is really for that prevention step to just make that easier for you. And dark clothing could be that there's some mosquitoes and ticks that may be more likely to be attracted. But, you know, I think there's also just some baseline things about certain people that make them more attractive. And so you'll find that there are people who are just tick magnets, and it doesn't matter what they're wearing. Right? They are just going to be loaded with ticks if they go out into the woods, and others who just aren't. And same with mosquitoes. We know that there's some people that are just a magnet for a mosquito, and others that are kind of repellent. And so
do we know anything more about the biology of that, why that happens?
Well, so with lots of these different bloodsuckers, if they're feeding during the day, for example, if they're daytime feeders, it may be easier to see contrast. If people are wearing dark clothing, it might be that, you know, visual cues are more turned on by the dark clothes. Or it could be the opposite, right? That maybe some of the things a mosquito or a tick are attracted to are lighter in color, and so they would be attracted to that. So it's a visual thing.
We're talking with Lyric Bartholomew, a UW-Madison professor who studies infectious disease agents in mosquitoes, ticks, and other parasites. Have you seen a rash on your body resembling a bullseye? Do you avoid wooded and brushy areas with high grass on your hikes? What do you want to know about tick bites? Be part of this at 800-642-1234. Let's go to Joel now, joining us from Superior. Hi, Joel.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I have a couple things. As a kid here growing up in, you know, way up northern Wisconsin, we didn't even know of deer ticks, and now they're everywhere. I've been treated for Lyme disease 3 times. I spent a lot of time outside, especially in the fall with bird dogs in grassy areas. The dogs seriously get hundreds of deer ticks on them. You know, what changed? Is it because it's warmer? And then you don't have to go very far north of here. You get up into the Thunder Bay area of Canada, which isn't, you know, only a couple hours from here. They don't have ticks at all. Is it the colder winters that are preventing them from showing up here? And are they living in the wintertime? Are they just under the leaf litter and the grass and stuff?
Yeah, thanks, Joel. So really, we have seen over time the same thing play out, and a lot of people will tell the same story that you tell, where, you know, when they were kids, they never saw these ticks, and now they're seeing them in huge numbers, and it's associated with the things that the ticks like to be on, and that the ticks have just probably to some extent they've really adapted really well to Wisconsin winters. You know, these ticks are remarkably cold hardy, and just like you said, they can burrow into that leaf litter and persist even in just shockingly cold weather. So it's not so much that they're not making it farther north in Canada because they're not cold hardy enough. I think it has to be this kind of perfect storm of all different conditions. So you have to have the small mammals that these things like to feed on. So mice are so important in the life cycle of these ticks, because as soon as they hatch, they need to find a mouse to feed on. And the mice are actually the source of the Lyme disease bacteria too. So you have to have the mouse, then you have to have the mouse again, or maybe a chipmunk or some other small mammals, and then a deer. And so as those populations thrive, as the mice and the deer thrive, so do the deer ticks.
And you're doing a study on pet owners and ticks. Is that right, Lyric?
That's right. So I'm so glad you mentioned your dog, Joel, because one of the things that we're seeing with the people who have participated in our tick app is that people who have pets seem to be really well tuned in to finding ticks on their pets, and then as a result, maybe on themselves. And so we're trying to understand better what pet owners see and do, how they prevent ticks on their animals, and if that helps to prevent Lyme disease in the owners too. So we have a study on pet owners in Wisconsin that's going on right now. And if you go to the Tick App site and navigate to the Midwest tab and to pets, and you want to participate in that study, we would be really grateful.
Joel, thank you so much for the call. Lyric Bartholomew is here. She's a professor in the UW-Madison Department of Pathobiological Sciences. And part of the work in her lab is to study where mosquitoes are present across the Midwest and which ones pose a risk to human and animal health. We are going to be talking with her about mosquitoes. What are your tips for avoiding mosquito bites? Have you noticed mosquitoes in your neighborhood this spring? Let's talk about it at 800-642-1234. You can email your questions to ideas@WPR.org. We'll be back to talk more on ticks and mosquitoes with Lyric Bartholomew after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Just a quick mention that as the impact of COVID-19 grows here in Wisconsin, WPR continues to bring you coverage of the latest developments from our reporters around the state. And you can submit your questions or concerns about COVID-19, and we will do our best to answer them. Go to WPR.org/COVID. Right now, we're talking about mosquito and tick season in Wisconsin. There are more than 50 kinds of mosquitoes in the upper Midwest. Some can transmit disease, like West Nile virus. We're learning how to avoid getting sick from a mosquito and to prevent bites in the first place. Your questions on mosquitoes and ticks front and center this hour, 800-642-1234. How do you try to reduce the mosquitoes in your yard? Are you concerned about standing water? What do you want to know about how mosquitoes thrive and what they carry? Call in, email ideas@WPR.org. We have Lyric Bartholomew, who is the director of the Midwest Center of Excellence for Vector-Borne Disease, one of the directors at UW-Madison, and she stays with us. So, Lyric, let's still hang out here on ticks for a moment. Mark from Milwaukee called to ask, what percentage of ticks actually carry Lyme disease? He also wants to know how Lyme continues to survive in ticks over time.
Yeah, it's such important questions because we know that, of course, the risk of getting Lyme disease is certainly associated with how many ticks out there are actually infected. And it varies depending on where you are in the state. In some places, it's maybe 10%. In some places, it's as high as 30%. But sort of average is probably around 20%. So one in five of the ticks that you might come in contact with could be infected with the Lyme disease bacteria.
Pete from Iguanago emailed us and is asking that, given that their deer hunting was down this past season, also there's a lot less vehicles on our roads over the past few months, deer and wildlife in general seem to be everywhere, Pete says. If the deer populations are indeed up, how much do you expect the deer tick populations to increase correspondingly?
Yeah, I don't know that we can come up with a perfect correlative there, but certainly when the deer are doing well, it's helpful for the adult stage ticks to have something to feed on, and they need deer blood in order to produce eggs and the next generation. So you kind of imagine that the availability of deer is helpful to the tick populations. Then they also depend on mice and other things once the next generation of ticks comes around. And so, you know, we know that when those populations are thriving, it's certainly helpful for the tick population. So it's an important observation, and because it's also Lyme Disease Awareness Month coming up here, you know, all good reasons to be really knowledgeable and ready for ticks coming up.
Lyric, why deer and mice? Why are they great hosts?
You know, we see this with all the different bloodsuckers. They've really evolved to associate with particular hosts because those hosts provide them just the right nutrient mix for them to make it to their next life stage.
Well, let's take another call now. Briar is joining us from Oconomowoc. Hi, Briar.
Hiya.
Hi, what's your question?
So I have a friend that eats a clove of garlic before work every day because we work outside. And he says it helps repel the mosquitoes. And I'm wondering if you know anything about that. And I'll take my comments off here.
Yeah, thanks, Briar. Yeah, you know, there are people that just swear by garlic for all kinds of great properties, including the possibility that it could make you more repellent. And there's no doubt that some of the foods that we eat alter the ways that we smell to mosquitoes. And so, you know, I think that may not work universally for everyone, because sort of like we talked about with ticks, mosquitoes, you know, tend to have, for whatever reason, certain people they just really like to feed on. And so for those people, if garlic works as a repellent, then, you know, go for it, right? Like it's good and it's healthy. And if it works for you, that's wonderful. I don't know that universally it would work for everybody. And it may also function to repel things other than mosquitoes, like your family members and friends.
Stick to the clove, not the bulb. That
right. So, you know, if it works for you and it's safe, that's fantastic.
Well, I'm sure one question you get asked a lot is, how bad will the mosquitoes be this year? Do we have any idea on a prediction?
You know, it's always a gamble. It really, the severity of the mosquitoes just depends so much on the weather. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to make a prediction, you know, without having a really super accurate long-term weather forecasting. And what we saw last year in lots of parts of the Midwest was a really low mosquito year, other than over in Milwaukee for some reason. And so it can be really regional, it can be local, it can be all kinds of things can influence what the mosquito populations look like. But last year what we saw was we had a really long, cold spring, and it took like forever for summer to arrive. And that did seem to affect the early season buildup of mosquitoes, so that in a lot of places there just weren't very many out there. You know, if we have a nice warm spring and good amounts of rain, but not so much rain that it washes away all the mosquito habitat, we could have a year that's quite productive for the mosquitoes in 2020.
Does it make any impact if we have really cool nights but warmer days? What about temperature swing?
Yeah, so it's interesting. There's so many mosquitoes, like you mentioned, Kate, that we have over 50 different kinds of mosquitoes, and they have really distinct times of the season that they come out and different habitat ranges. So, you know, we have some mosquitoes that are much more likely to be in northern Wisconsin and are really cold tolerant. And then we have other mosquitoes that are, you know, down here in this part of the state. Right now, there are some mosquitoes out feeding on people. So you may notice this if you're out feeding, that there's these mosquitoes that have really highly patterned sort of wings. I had some feeding on me last night. Those mosquitoes overwinter as adults. So they survive Wisconsin winters as these like tiny, fragile looking things.
Wow.
But they make it through Wisconsin winters and emerge really early. And so those early emergers, they can handle radical cold nights and then warm days.
Well, they just got through winter. That's nothing for them.
I know. Isn't that amazing that a cold-blooded animal could do that? And then, you know, midsummer, there'll be mosquitoes that are much more cold intolerant. So, but that works out for them because they'll start coming out at a time when the nights aren't as chilly. And so the mosquitoes have it timed. They've got it all figured out.
We're talking with Lyric Bartholomew, who is a director of the Midwest Center of Excellence for Vector-Borne Disease, taking your questions about mosquitoes and ticks at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Janet now, joining us from Hurley this morning. Hi, Janet.
Hi. I heard that vitamin B1 was good at preventing mosquitoes. I started taking it about a month before mosquito season last year, and I really didn't notice a difference. Do you have any information on that?
That's really interesting. I don't have any information on that, Janet, but this is another one of those things, like our previous caller talked about, using garlic as a repellent. I think, you know, if you find something that's safe and it works for you, then I would go for it, as long as your doctor doesn't advise otherwise.
Janet, thank you. William emailed us to ask Lyric if William confines his outdoor activities to walking or running on hard surfaces like sidewalks. Is he safe from picking up ticks?
Yeah, it's such an important question. You know, we used to think about these ticks in Wisconsin, the deer ticks in Wisconsin, as being things that you just encounter up north and you just encounter if you're out in the woods. And what we're finding with more and more study and all of that work that I was talking about, where we're looking county to county, is that the ticks can encroach on surprising places. And so maybe asphalt is safer, but we do find that ticks can be kind of right at the periphery of a trail, and even in people's manicured backyards. And so I would just advise that if you've been out in a place where you think there might be ticks, just give a quick tick check when you get home. Or we're also seeing that it might be useful to just shower. So after you've been out for a run, this is good timing for somebody who's out, you know, vigorously exercising. You just get those clothes off into the wash and get into the shower. And that seems to probably reduce your risk of getting bitten by the tick.
You mentioned that there are more than 50 species in Wisconsin. Are there invasive mosquito species that are moving into our state?
Yeah, there are. And so within the last couple of years, we've started to see this mosquito called Aedes albopictus, which is the Asian tiger mosquito, moving in to more and more parts of the Midwest and upper Midwest. And so we're finding that mosquito annually now over on the eastern part of the state, southeastern part of the state, and really watching that one carefully because it can transmit a lot of things, including maybe Zika virus. So we've got that one. There's another mosquito called Aedes japonicus that made it into the state a couple of years ago. We're also watching out for invasive ticks. And so, you know, they're really adaptable. And we talked about that, Kate, that they can survive cold and they can survive heat. And so we just expect that they won't comply with geographic boundaries and we'll continue to see new invaders.
Mosquito season is upon us. We're getting ready with UW-Madison professor Lyric Bartholomew at our side. Her lab studies mosquito-pathogen interactions. Are you concerned that climate change will bring more mosquito-borne diseases to your backyard? How do you try to prevent bites? Still time to talk with your questions, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute with Lyric Bartholomew right here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Consider this mosquitoes 101, right? There are illnesses spread by mosquitoes in our state, but not all mosquitoes do spread illnesses. Lyric Bartholomew is sorting this out for us. She is a UW-Madison professor studying infectious disease agents in mosquitoes and ticks and other parasites. And she stays with us taking your calls. Let's go back to the phones now. Herbie is joining us from Ryle this morning. Hi, Herbie.
Hi. I was wondering, is there any benefits to the mosquitoes or ticks?
Are there anything beneficial about mosquitoes?
So we know that mosquitoes in the water, so your mosquitoes have this life cycle, right, where they go from water to air in their development. So they're wigglers or larvae, and then pupae and tumblers, they're in the water. and then they emerge as adults. And I think at every life stage, those mosquitoes are feeding other animals. And so we've seen, for example, in places where you control the mosquitoes really well, the larval mosquitoes in the water can actually have an impact on birds that are dependent on the mosquitoes to live. And so birds that don't have the mosquitoes as a food source anymore maybe have weaker eggs, and their birds are less likely to fledge, their fledglings. And so they're a really essential part of the food chain, without a doubt.
What would happen if the mosquito disappeared?
I think, you know, we think of mosquitoes as being so pesky and annoying, but I think if they were to disappear, there would be visible effects on the ecosystem. So, you know, maybe they're helping keep the water a little bit cleaner because the larvae are feeding on bacteria and other things in the water, and the larvae are feeding fish and ducks. And then once they emerge as adults, they're feeding bats and other birds too. And so I'm not sure we could even predict, but I think without them, you'd lose a lot of biomass that is no doubt serving other animals too.
Well, Jim from Maple called in to ask how long mosquitoes normally live. What is their lifespan?
Oh, Jim, it's so cool to imagine all the different answers to that question. So we have these mosquitoes that are out feeding right now that overwintered as adults. And so you know that their lifespan, it has to be something like from maybe September through April. So some of them that can live for months and months and months. Others are more short-lived. And so those mosquitoes that really depend on nice warm weather in the summertime, they may be more like a month to just a couple of weeks in terms of their lifespan. So, yep, it depends on the type of mosquito and how it persists and exists.
Some people are concerned about using chemical insect repellents and spraying them on, like DEET. What do you recommend people do to avoid insect bites?
Yeah, I think, you know, DEET is a really tried and true repellent. It works really, really well. And so if you can start there, I recommend that one. And I would say if you're hesitant about having that on you, that a really good idea is to use it for just the duration that you need it and then come inside and wash it off. You know, that can be part of your tick chick ritual too. Come in after you've been outside and just hop in the bath or the shower and get the DEET off and the ticks off too. but then if that's really not comfortable for you, you know, you could wear long sleeves and long pants to try and prevent mosquito and tick bites. You can try and stay indoors when certain types of mosquitoes are feeding. So like the mosquitoes that transmit West Nile tend to feed in the dusk hours. And so for avoidance purposes, you could try and just be inside during the times when those mosquitoes feed. So we have like a variety of kind of avoidance kinds of things. But, you know, it's so nice to be outside, and it's so important, I think, for our mental health, particularly now, that it's great to try and use some of these preventive measures. So long sleeve, long pants, insect repellent. There are non-DEET choices out there. And I think for me, the best way to resource that information is through the EPA. They have this really great decision-making site that you can use that'll tell you which products are most useful and for how long. So if you want to use a non-DEET alternative, you can find out which product and how often you should reapply it if you're outside. So I think there are really good resources, again, if DEET makes you uncomfortable, to find an alternative.
What about to try to avoid ticks? Does DEET work for repelling ticks as well?
It does. And that site that I was mentioning, the EPA site for deciding on your repellent, gives you options to search for what works for ticks and what works for mosquitoes, or.
Yeah. When you are looking at your research, we had a call here about the mosquito population study and what is the goal of that research. Is there any information you can tell us about that study?
Yeah, so we have a variety of mosquito studies ongoing. A lot of our work is to just try and understand where the mosquitoes that really transmit viruses are. So that's one goal, is to look and understand when are the mosquitoes out, and what kind of numbers, and of those that are out, how many are infected with different viruses. And so we've had some studies running in the greater Milwaukee area, for example, and in Dane County, to figure out when those mosquitoes that transmit West Nile are out and how many of them are infected. So sort of what's the risk? That's one of the things that we've done. We've also been looking kind of across the state to try and understand what mosquitoes we have, because we want to understand when new mosquitoes arrive. We need to understand, what do we have here in the first place? So some of our studies have been trying to understand what's that baseline of mosquito diversity across the state. And we have another study that's ongoing way up in northern Wisconsin around Hayward, tracking particular mosquitoes and really trying to get at what is their role in transmitting a virus called Jamestown Canyon virus. So this is a new re-emerging virus in the state, and we've seen a lot of people infected with it. So we're trying to understand what mosquitoes are involved. And by understanding which ones are involved, we can come up with smarter control programs. So some of our students have been doing great work to understand that these mosquitoes that come out and actually survive in just freshly melted snow pools are keeping that virus over the winter, and then potentially transmitting it to deer, and then other mosquitoes are getting involved in transmitting the virus to people. So understanding those transmission cycles, what mosquitoes are out and when, and to what extent they're infected with viruses, are the goals of those studies on mosquito populations.
Let's bring in another call. Andra is with us from Mount Pleasant. Hi, Andra. What is your question?
Not a question, just a comment. She was talking about preventative measures, and I have netting. I have a jacket and pants. The only thing that's exposed, it has a hood. The only thing exposed are my hands.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Physical barriers. So smart.
That is great, Andra. And do you find that that really does it for you? Do you have any other types of protections?
Well, I'll try to use more, not as strong as DEET, but if you're, you know, depends the situation where you're going. But in my garden, I'll wear the netting, and it looks kind of weird, but we're all getting used to masks now, so we could get used to netting too.
That's right, as long as it protects you. Andra, thank you so much for calling in. Lyric, you know, there's been a lot of talk about malaria and dengue fever and Zika. Do we know, have you found Zika at all in Wisconsin?
We haven't found Zika. We have one mosquito that probably isn't a great transmitter of Zika here in the state. So we've been tracking the potential mosquitoes that can transmit it. We actually also did some studies as soon as Zika hit the United States. We did some, I think, really important work to understand whether the mosquitoes that are already here, so the non-invasive types of mosquitoes, whether those Wisconsin mosquitoes transmit Zika, and we found they did not. So I think keeping our finger on the pulse of Zika is really important, and at this point, the risk is pretty low in Wisconsin.
Lyric, thank you for joining us.
It's so much fun to come on and talk to you, Kate. Have a great day.
You too. Stay well. Lyric Bartholomew, professor in the UW-Madison Department of Pathobiological Sciences. She directs the Midwest Center of Excellence for Vector-Borne Disease. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.